This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, June 5th, 2013. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Christina Thomas. Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle. The 23rd Annual Riverfront Blues Festival will be held June 21st and 22nd at Harry E. Kelly Park in Fort Smith. Performing artists include Johnny Winter, Eric Sardinas, Leah and the Mojo Doctors, and more. Shows begin Friday at 6 p.m. and Saturday at 5 p.m. Tickets and more information available at riverfrontbluesfest.org.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, a conversation with U.S. Senator Mark Pryor about his re-election campaign. Also, the Arkansas Public Policy Panel celebrates its 50th anniversary. Blues musician Buddy Shoot stops by the Furman Garner Performance Studio and more.
But first, Arkansas officials say four insurance companies have sent letters saying they plan to take part in the marketplace that will be created under the federal health care law. About 500,000 Arkansans are expected to buy insurance through the exchange. Roby Brock with Talk Business Arkansas says this resolves a key concern.
There was a big question about how many carriers might actually try to participate in the exchange. State officials had indicated that hopefully as many as 6 to 8 carriers might attempt to compete. It turns out 4. That's better than 2, which would have made it not very price competitive. So I think 4 is probably okay for the first year. It will certainly spark some competition, and we'll see if over time the addition of these new potential customers into a health insurance exchange encourages more carriers to try to compete for the business.
The companies also submitted their planned service areas for 2014, which the Arkansas Insurance Department said it will review for adequacy. Open enrollment for the exchange begins in October.
The Walmart Shareholders Convention is underway as thousands of associates from around the world are already in Northwest Arkansas for the week-long event. But among the thousands of Walmart associates in town are more than 100 protesters vying for the retail giant's attention. Jamie Way is a senior campaign communications coordinator for the United Food and Commercial Workers Union and for the Making Change at Walmart campaign. She says during the past year, the campaign, along with the organization United for Respect at Walmart, known as Our Walmart, has made strides in bringing their complaints to the ears of Walmart executives.
Associates have brought attention to the issue of hours, and earlier this year, Walmart came out and at least made promises that they would start to address the issue of workers not getting enough hours and start offering part-time workers the ability to get extended hours. Walmart hasn't made good on that promise yet. It's kind of like the empty promises that we see with the Bangladesh safety issue. But at least Walmart is having to publicly discuss some of these issues and having to really start to take a look at how it's treating its workers throughout its supply chain.
The members of Our Walmart have come from California, Illinois, Florida, and elsewhere across the country on a ride for respect, in which the members of the movement joined buses caravanning to Bentonville for the Shareholders Week. Though movement members have come to the heart of Walmart country, Way says protesters haven't been met with overwhelming ire from people in the Walmart community.
Actually, we've been really warmly welcomed. Walmart workers that are with us that are on strike have gone out into the community and talked to business owners here, community members here, and even workers. And just over the last couple of days have signed a number of new members in Arkansas.
She says today protesters will have a memorial service for Bangladeshi workers killed in a fire at a factory that produced garments sold at Walmart. This all comes as a Benton County Circuit judge earlier this week granted Walmart a temporary restraining order against the UFCW, Our Walmart, and all affiliated employees and agents who act in concert with them, with the exception of current Walmart employees. Under the order, the group is barred from all Walmart property.
Arkansas flags are being flown at half-staff today, with funeral services pending for Scott County Sheriff Cody Carpenter and Wildlife Officer Joel Campora. They died last week working to rescue two women trapped by floodwaters. In Washington today, both of Arkansas senators paid tributes to the men on the Senate floor. Senator Mark Pryor.
They put others' needs ahead of their own because of their sense of duty and honor and their belief in helping their fellow man.
Senator John Bozeman.
These were ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds. Sheriff Carpenter left behind a wife, Amy, Beth, and four children, Garen, Christian, Douglas, and Ireland. Officer Campore left behind a wife, Rebecca, and two daughters, Stacy and Bethany. Again, we very much would like everyone to remember these families and keep them in their thoughts and their prayers as time goes on.
A memorial will be held at 1 p.m. today to honor Sheriff Carpenter and at 1 p.m. Friday for Officer Campora. Both services will be held at Waldron High School football field.
A new stamp coming out today pays tribute to an Arkansas native.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher.
A decade after Johnny Cash's death, the U.S. Postal Service is issuing the stamp, which features a photo used for the cover of his 1963 album, Ring of Fire. Spokesman Stephen C. Worcester says it's the culmination of a year-long celebration of Cash's legacy.
With his distinct musical sound, you know, kind of a blend of country, rock, and folk, we thought he'd be a good candidate for our Music Icon series.
To celebrate the release of the stamp, a free concert is scheduled for tonight at the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville. Cash grew up in the East Arkansas town of Dyess, where work continues restoring his boyhood home.
The Norman Rockwell exhibition has finished its residency at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art. During the exhibit's 11-week duration, which ended May 27th, about 121,000 people visited the museum just to see the exhibit. According to a release from the museum, the visitor total tops attendance numbers from the 12 previous exhibition locations, including Sacramento, California, and Orlando, Florida.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals hit the road last night to open a four-game series against the Tulsa Drillers. The Naturals lost 5-3, making their record 16-39 on the season. The series continues tonight in Tulsa.
Forecast this evening calls for cloudy skies with a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Overnight lows from 61 degrees in northwest Arkansas to 66 in the Arkansas River Valley. Mostly cloudy tomorrow with a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 1 p.m. Highs in the mid to upper 70s. Cloudy tomorrow evening with overnight lows from 45 in northwest Arkansas to 61 in the Arkansas River Valley.
Arkansas Public Policy Panel, a statewide organization dedicated to achieving social, economic, and environmental justice through citizen group action, is celebrating its 50th anniversary June 15th in Little Rock. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich profiles this historic statewide organization.
50 years ago, the Arkansas Public Policy Panel, although that was not its name yet, began as a civil rights venture organized by a group of moms concerned about school segregation. Executive Director Bill Kopsky.
The panel started in 1963, and it was founded by moms of school-age kids. And it was really after the Central High crisis had settled down and the schools were reopened that the Women's Emergency Committee that worked during the Central High crisis to reopen the schools in Little Rock was disbanding. A lot of the leaders there were really proud of what they'd accomplished, as they should have been, but it had been really hard, and they were, some of them were ready to move on. But other women, some from the Women's Emergency Committee and then just others that hadn't been involved in that, knew that there were still a lot of ongoing issues across the whole state. And they wanted to do something about that. And so an organization called the Panel of American Women was called together by Sarah Murphy, was our founder.
So the first panel was made up of white, African-American, Christian, Jewish, and Asian moms, years before diversity organizing was practiced, let alone sanctioned.
But they went off and they did public forums with communities groups all over the state. And they just simply told stories about what it was like to grow up from their background, why they believed in integration, and then they would take people's questions honestly.
Bukowski said the women during their travels stood up to racism, even when denied a meal at a public restaurant, and had to routinely field critical questions.
Or they'd get questions. I remember one of the original panelists, who was one of the Jewish members, talking about a woman asking her if it was true that Jews still did blood sacrifices. And, you know, all these stereotypes and all these misperceptions and all that sort of stuff, they wanted to break that down by just creating human relationships as moms.
So the panel took root, working with the Little Rock School District, establishing the state's first multicultural curriculum.
So that's how we were founded, and what I'm really proud of is that we still hold on to some of those original principles really dearly. We still, you know, believe really strongly that you don't make progress by going out and preaching to people that they're wrong or being dogmatic, but you make progress by listening to people, by addressing the issues that they think are important, and by building genuine relationships with people, and that's a big part of our work still today.
By 1971, the panel had incorporated as a 501c3, which allowed the women to apply for grant funding. In 1973, the late Brownie Ledbetter, who had facilitated many of the panel's presentations, became a volunteer executive director, a position she held for 26 years. She and other members expanded the panel's mission to include equal rights as well as environmental and economic justice issues. The group changed its name to the Arkansas Public Policy Panel in 1989 to reflect its core work and organizational outreach across the state. Preceding that, the panel had attempted, under then-Governor Bill Clinton's leadership, legislative tax reform, but failed, lacking an organized base. So into the 90s, the Arkansas Public Policy Panel built a coalition to advocate for civil rights and fair tax legislation, while developing a decentralized network of grassroots activist leaders under the auspices of the nonprofit Arkansas Citizens First Congress, established in 1998.
One of our big strategies is community organizing. And so we currently are working in 15 communities across the state to help build local community action organizations that are addressing issues ranging from education to the environment to economic development. To basic, just basic civic governance, you know, holding their school boards or city councils accountable. So that's our community organizing part of our work. But then we also work to build coalitions. And the biggest coalition that we have is the Citizens First Congress, which is 56 member groups that work together at the legislature on an agenda that our members elect each legislative session. And so we just came out of a legislative session and had had a fair bit of success with that. We also have coalitions that we support working around education reform called the Opportunity to Learn campaign, really trying to boost opportunities for students, especially low-income and minority students, to do better in school. And then we have a coalition of groups that works together on conservation and environmental issues.
Coalition members operate autonomously.
Each of our local groups forms their own governance structures. They operate differently in a way that they choose. We knew that it would be difficult, particularly in Arkansas, to go into a community and tell folks in the community, we have the model, we have the way, you just have to do what we say and come join us. And that just doesn't work very well in the South generally, and definitely not in Arkansas. And so what we do instead is we basically help people in communities build their own organizations. So they pick the name, they pick the issues that they want to work on, they choose the structure, and we just sort of facilitate and help. And we share some best practices from other organizations that we've worked with over the years, but it's very much locally driven. And then the Citizens First Congress, similarly, they created their own governance and decision-making process, and it's a lot like a legislative body. They have caucuses that are just like legislative committees, and delegates from our member organizations come to a convention, and they use a voting process that's very similar to the legislative process.
The panel secures funding from a variety of sources.
We're funded a combination of grassroots supporters from here in Arkansas and then foundations, philanthropic organizations across the country.
When asked to identify top accomplishments over its 50-year span, Bill Kopsky points to civic engagement.
You know, it's easy to be discouraged by the process and to feel left out and excluded and to feel like you can't make any difference. But really, we have a really solid track record of helping communities make a huge difference in their communities across a whole range of issues by coming together strategically and working together. And so to us, I mean, there's been thousands of people that we've helped engage in the political process over the years, and that's really important. Probably the second most, or probably even more important than that, is the unity we've been able to build across, you know, lines of division. We work in extreme South Arkansas right on the Louisiana border. We work in North Arkansas right on the Missouri and Oklahoma borders. We really work across the state. We have members in Eastern Arkansas over near Memphis, and we have members over in Fort Smith near Oklahoma. And there's not very many places in Arkansas for that kind of diversity to come together and work together. And that's one of the things that we really do. So, you know, within the Citizens First Congress, we have African-American, Latino, white, Asian-American members working together. We have farmers and labor union environmentalists and economic developers, civil rights activists, election reform activists, all working together, public health advocates, child advocates, and really doing that kind of diversity. We have folks from very rural parts of the state that have a very rural perspective, and we have, you know, folks from Fayetteville and Little Rock with a much more urban perspective. And really bringing people from all those different walks of life together for us is really important, because we think, you know, the relationships that we build by doing that kind of make a stronger fabric for the state, for one. But also we think that we make a lot better decisions when we're all kind of sharing each other's perspectives, hearing each other out, and working together that way. We think, you know, no one person has it all figured out, and that we, you know, I think it's one of the keys to why we've been successful at moving policy at the legislatures, because our leadership collectively is incredibly smart, because they have all these different walks of life and all these different perspectives, and they come together and they share all that with one another through our coalition, and that makes us very effective.
And the panel has a very strategic way to cultivate new, young members. Every year, the Citizens First Congress organizes a Youth Advocacy Day, bringing 120 children from around the state to the Capitol to learn about state and local government. A photograph of one such gathering is featured on the panel's 50th anniversary June 15th celebration invitation. On the flip side, a 60s-era portrait of original panel members. By the way, Bill Kopsky, a Tulsa native, first signed on with the group in 1996 as a community organizer, invited by Brownie Ledbetter.
It just seems easier to make progress here. People seem more willing to consider different points of view and just seem a lot less ideological.
Bill Kopsky decided to stay in Arkansas. He's raising a family here and now leads the Arkansas Public Policy Panel, and he invites everyone to attend the 50th anniversary celebration.
June 15th is going to be great. You know, we wanted to do something that would really kind of honor how important the 50th anniversary is, and especially in Arkansas. Sometimes we have a tendency in our state to forget some of our progressive history. So we wanted to do a few things to really document our history. So we gave all of our archives to the Arkansas Studies Institute, so that there'll be archived there for the public forever. And then a group of graduate students from the University of Arkansas at Little Rock's public history program spent the semester writing a written history of our organization. So that's really great. But then on June 15th, the Citizens First Congress is celebrating their 15th anniversary as a coalition, and then the public policy panel is celebrating our 50th. The Citizens First Congress is going to be meeting that afternoon on the 15th, to do a debrief of the legislative session and sort of do some work and talk about how that we're going to build stronger campaigns coming to the next session. At 4 o'clock that afternoon, we're going to be honoring some of the legislative champions from the past legislative session, people who sponsored some of our legislation or some of the activists that really worked extremely hard. And then in the evening on the 15th, we're having a banquet where we really have a set of speakers from each era of the organization, and we're holding the celebration at Philander Smith College.
Their slogan, by the way, is putting the public back in public policy. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
To learn more, visit arpanel.org.
U.S. Senator Mark Pryor is involved in an already hotly contested re-election campaign for next year. That's without an announced opponent in either the Democratic primary or the general election. What does he think is around the corner? Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas recently caught up with the state's senior senator to find out.
You have no opponent. It's 18 months out. You are already running as if you have an opponent. What are you budgeting for this campaign?
Oh, I don't even want to think about it, but I think we're going to have to raise more than $10 million to run this race. Unfortunately, I tell you, we live in this Citizens United world right now after the U.S. Supreme Court made their decision. There's two things that came through in Citizens United, two things you never want to see in politics. It's secret money and it's unlimited money, and that's what we have. And so you see these outside groups coming in and spending all this money, not just in Arkansas, they're spending it all over the country, and it's really not good. Not good for the system. It's all negative, and it's just not good.
This ad that you have countered some of this messaging with, you're spending about $30,000 is my understanding of how much. That's no match for $700,000, which is what the other two ads are spending. How do you counter that message?
Well, you know, of course, part of their strategy is to just spend, and make us run out of money. And so we're not going to do that. We're going to be smart about it. And I'll tell you, I think people in this state are smart. They get it. They understand. And the fact that, you know, you have the mayor of New York City trying to tell us what to do on guns is almost laughable with a lot of people.
But
actually,
a former state Democratic official in there.
Yeah. You mean someone who used to work for the state party?
Correct.
On the
Angela Barnes.
Yeah, sure. And I have a lot of respect for her. But the problem is that the ad that he's running would have done nothing to prevent Bill Guatney's death. It had nothing to do with that. The person who came in and killed former Senator Guatney did not buy it at a gun show. Mm-hmm. There's no connection to the Bloomberg bill at all.
Obviously, lots of speculation that Tom Cotton may be your Republican challenger. Do you think Tom Cotton's going to be your opponent?
I don't know. You know, he says, I read in the paper like you do, he says he hasn't made up his mind and he won't make a decision until maybe the summer or even early fall. So I don't know. We'll see. You know, I'm on every endangered species list in Washington, and that's fine because, you know, when I ran in 2002, they said I couldn't win. I won. They ran in 2008, said I couldn't win. I won.
Well, you were unopposed in 2008.
Well,
but
early on,
unopposed,
we didn't know that. Right. I mean, it was kind of like right now. It looked you know, like a really hard race.
Do you expect a primary challenger? This week in Politico, State Senator Joyce Elliott, African-American state senator, former Senate Majority Leader, said there are many African-Americans who are quite bothered by some of the votes that Senator Pryor has taken. I've had a lot of conversations with African-Americans who just don't even want to talk about it, who say, maybe I just won't vote. Do you sense that you have some problems with your Democratic base, particularly with African-American voters?
You know, I'm very sensitive to that. I don't think I do. I continue to meet with people, talk with people all the time of all races, all ages, all sections of the state. I constantly meet with people, talk to them. And actually, I feel pretty good about where I am, really around the state with every voting segment.
Why would she say that?
Well, I think there has been some frustration around that gun vote in particular. And I understand that, I really do. But once I have a chance to explain that we had another vote, see, most people don't even know that. Once I'm able to explain that we had another vote on Grassley, and when you go through there, they're like, well, I would have voted for that too. Once they know the facts, they feel a little bit differently about
Immigration's the next big D.C. debate here. You voted no on the Bush immigration bill several years ago. Biggest reason cited was that there's no amnesty to close the gate. Do you think there should be a path for citizenship for illegal aliens?
Well,
here's
the deal. That bill just came out of the Senate committee last week, and it's going to be on the floor in about a week. So in about 10 days or so, we're going to start this debate in earnest on the Senate floor. On that bill, you have 8 senators, 4 Democrats, 4 Republicans, who've come together to try to do comprehensive reform. I think the answer to your question is, I want to look at everything they've done. It came out of the committee with 100 amendments on it. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to sort that out right now to get the right bill so we understand what's there. But the truth is, I would like to support immigration reform. We should have done this 10 years ago. But we've never been able to pull it all together. So I want to support what they're doing. But until I have a chance to analyze it and then, of course, know what amendments happen on the Senate floor, I can't say yes yet on final passage, but I would
yes
like to support.
Yes or no, a path to citizenship for illegal aliens?
Well, I think what we would do there is if it's like they had it structured before, you know, in the draft bill, I think I can support that.
That was U.S. Senator Mark Pryor, who recently spoke with Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business Arkansas. Support for Talk Business Arkansas and Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from 4 offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. More at AECC.com.
It is Wednesday, June 5th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas, and here with me now is Becca Martin Brown, features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Because you might want to go to Thunder on the Mountain, because 2 music festivals in a year just weren't enough, so now we have 3. It is the only country music festival in Arkansas, according to Brett Mossiman, who is the festival director, and one of only a few in the region, and about 80% of those who will attend the festival starting Thursday he expects to come from Arkansas and Oklahoma. This takes place at Mulberry Mountain, where Wakarusa just wrapped up, and the headliners include Randy Houser, Thompson Square, Big and Rich, Easton Corbin, Montgomery Gentry, Luke Bryan, Colt Ford, Gretchen Wilson, Justin Moore, and Toby Keith.
I would think that Wakarusa music would be more at my alley than country music, but mm-hmm. I recognize more names on this lineup than I did on the Wakarusa lineup.
Which is interesting because country has become so mainstream. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm going to go, I'm going to go look for, Godsmack, and this is really not my music either, but it is very mainstream now. And these are big names. 3-day event passes run around $150. 2-day passes, $10 or so less. And you can find out more at thunderonthemountain.com.
All right. Becca Martin Brown is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Funny is as funny does.
And the first thing you have to realize is that both of my parents were sterile, but they had 6 kids without adoption. So when my mother would get mad at us, she would look at us and say, "You're all figments of my imagination, and I can make you go away anytime I want."
I'm Michael Feldman. Join me this week for all the news that isn't and more on the What Do You Know Radio Hour from PRI, Public Radio International.
What Do You Know, Saturday mornings at 10 here on KUAF. Through just the first few days of June, there have already been more than a dozen special events in Bentonville related to the city's arts and culinary festival. There are still more, many more, events to go. Daniel Hintz, executive director of Downtown Bentonville Incorporated, recently talked to Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums about what's left in the month-long festivities.
The current count of events with the festival is 77 events in the course of June.
That's 30 days. So you're averaging more than 2 a day.
Yeah. But we have a lot of partners. Understand yes. that Downtown Bentonville, of course, produces quite a few of the events. But we have a lot of partners like 21C, Crystal Bridges, a lot of the galleries in downtown, the restaurants. A big community of people pitching in for this festival.
Now, every month, almost every month of the year, you do have First Friday. And that's no different, even though it's arts and culinary.
Correct. The first Friday in June, of course, reflects the context, which is the Bentonville Art and Culinary Festival. And this is when we have the Bentonville Art Walk. This is the cornerstone event, really where this whole festival was birthed, full flung from the oak, if you will. The Bentonville Art Walk brings about 30 artists. It's a juried art show from around the region, about 6 to 8 states, to the downtown square. And we sort of wrap what is normally the First Friday experience around those artists. Those artists stay on the square, and then the next day they remain. And then we wrap the Bentonville Farmers Market around them. So the through line through those 2 days are 2 days of amazing, amazing artwork. And they can go to our website at downtownbentonville.org and actually click through all the various artists that are in the art walk. And on top of it, there's also a wide array of jazz on the Walnut Center main stage.
Right. We talked a couple of weeks ago with Andy and Robert, the guys who kind of curated the notes at night, and that's at the press room.
Mm-hmm.
And the only advice I would give there is if you're very interested in those, get there somewhat early.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the Notes at Night Jazz series starts on June 6th, and it's a relatively small venue, so I would get there early. But I'm telling you, they have a great array of food, wonderful bar menu, so definitely a good time to hang out there.
Speaking of food, of course, it is the Art and Culinary Festival. Mm-hmm. So part of the culinary part is an event that's taking place at Tuscan Trotter. And this is also tomorrow, June 6th. Mm-hmm. And it is the Kent Walker Cheese and Wine Dinner.
Yes.
And Kent Walker is a gentleman who
makes cheese.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I'm sure there's a technical term for that. Yeah. I can't come up with it right now.
He's out of Little Rock.
Yes.
And
his father lives here in Northwest Arkansas.
But he does his craft in Little Rock. And his cheese is absolutely phenomenal. Tuscan Trotter actually has it on the menu as part of the meat and cheese board on his regular menu. But this is a special dinner. And they're actually going to be focusing on Keenan Wines and a wonderful vineyard out of California. And those two things are incredible. Tickets are actually $50 per person, and people can actually call 479-268-4494 for tickets.
You're someone who knows something about food. Cheese, the differences in cheeses is as wide as the differences in wine?
Absolutely. The subtleties of temperature, what type of cows, you know, and the milk and the temperature, the aging process. And so even the region, you can get a cheddar in one area and a cheddar in another area, and it tastes very, very different. Mm-hmm.
And cheese and wine can enhance each other?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Or detract, depending on.
Seriously.
So
you this can, is, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Could you have a very good wine and a very good cheese, but since the pairing doesn't work, the experience is much less than it? The whole is less than the separate part?
Absolutely, absolutely. But I think the other thing is what you like. You know, so much of these conversations around culinary sometimes get something with art. You know, oh, this is art and this
right.
is not, or this is great food and this is not. So much of it is what you enjoy and what you like. And if you start from there, inform the conversation from what you enjoy. But you also know that there's just some things that should not go together. You know, liver and jelly, perhaps.
Well, you could have you could have put the period right there.
Yes.
Liver and.
Yeah, liver and. Done.
There's a bad combination. But that's it. The Kent Walker Cheese and Wine Dinner.
Yes.
Celebrating Arkansas cheeses at Tuscan Trotter. That's tomorrow night the 6th at 6:30.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. That is correct. We also have that on Friday, as we walk into the art walk that same time, there's a variety of other events that are also occurring. We have Jan Johnson Artist Reception at the Norberta Philbrook Gallery. And as I mentioned, this is a big community effort. And so Norberta Philbrook, wonderful gallery in downtown Bentonville. You can actually go check out more information about that at NorbertaPhilbrookGallery.com. And then also after the art walk, as we're sort of transitioning from the art walk into the evening, just like there is on every first Friday, the Bentonville Parks and Rec Department actually does their first Friday flicks, and that evening will be E.T.
Mm-hmm.
So great tearjerker to come down, hang out with the family, and watch him phone home.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. That's right, if you haven't seen it already.
And as you mentioned, there's something going on every day.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are big events, and some are just at the Bentonville Library or whatever. Mm-hmm. John Twohawks, who's a Eureka Springs guy, will be in town.
Yes. Now, he's going to be at Norberta Philbrook Gallery again. He's going to be there on Saturday, June 8th, from 2 to 4. He's going to have a meet and greet where you can actually go check out his new CD, It's a Beautiful World, and kind of meet him. An amazing gentleman. He is well-traveled and a phenomenal musician. And then that evening, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., he's actually going to be doing a recital in the gallery from his new CD release, It's a Beautiful World.
All the events are listed at your website, correct?
Yes. All the events are listed at downtownbentonville.org. But if people do have any questions, they can also give us a call at 479-254-0254. We also have our newest publication, The Square, which is a newspaper that we put out during major events like this. Those papers can be found throughout downtown Bentonville in the Bentonville Public Library. And, you know, if you can also get an electronic version on our website.
The physical copy?
Yes.
It's called the?
The Square.
And the shape of it is?
A square.
It's a rectangle.
Well, it's a rectangle. Well.
Oh, okay. If you open it up. Very good. Fair enough. Fair enough. I had it cut.
Aha. It's a double entendre wrapped in a conundrum. You can wrap fish in it.
Finally, have you ever had, I'm going someplace with this. I had not had cotton candy in my life until last week.
Oh.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
It just had never happened.
Uh-huh.
And I went to the Hive, the restaurant at 21C.
Yep.
And for dessert,
yes,
or just as a because you don't order it, they just bring it to your table, is cotton candy that tastes like sour apple.
Yes.
And it just melts in your mouth.
It does. It's one of those little surprises, those culinary surprises that Chef Matt does after 21C. And the great thing is there's no carnies anywhere nearby.
No.
So it's a wonderful experience with art and great food at 21C.
And Tuesday night on the 11th, they're doing no cotton candy involved as far as I know, but there's a beer pairing.
There's a five-course beer pairing. Chef Matt from The Hive. And then Andy Coates, who's a wonderful beer maker here in Northwest Arkansas.
Just down the street from us.
Just down the street. We'll be talking about their food and their process together, making this really great dinner. Tickets are $96 per person, and each ticket comes with a welcome specialty cocktail. And they can call The Hive for tickets at 286-6575.
And Andy, of course, is the brewmaster at West Mountain.
That is correct, and he is a stunning artist of the beverage variety.
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Kyle.
Daniel Hintz is the executive director of Downtown Bentonville Incorporated, and he talked to Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums. To see the list of all the events associated with the festival, you can go to downtownbentonville.org.
Next week, the Eureka Springs Blues Weekend will feature performances of blues musicians throughout the town. Buddy Shute is one of those musicians. Buddy has represented the Ozarks Blues Society at the International Blues Challenge in Memphis twice, once in 2010 and again earlier this year. Yesterday, he stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio, where he spoke to Antoinette about his experience at the competition.
That's one of the honors of being able to go there is there's all these super-duper people that you get to play with and participate with and compete with and listen to and pick up, steal things, you know.
Steal, like, techniques or?
Yeah, well, it's everything's based on the blues and that they have a very complicated but fair way of judging. You get so many points for originality, so many points for blues content, so many points for vocals and musical ability, and you get to play two nights, and they have three judges each night, three different judges each night. So everybody has a very fair chance, and something like the blues is so so basic. There's like no one way to do it right, so everybody has their own version of it, you know. And it's interesting to hear all the different. The people that came in second were from Germany, I believe, and they were amazing.
Well, you live here in Fayetteville, but you're not originally from here?
No, I'm originally from Memphis, which is interesting because that's where the contest was held.
Right.
So that was almost a full circle kind of thing, you know.
So what brought you to Fayetteville from Memphis?
Well, I have a place in Madison County out in the woods, and just like the area very much. I was here like 30 years ago and just liked it and decided to stick around.
So when did you move here?
Approximately 30 years ago. I've been in and out. I lived up in Boston for a while, New Hampshire, New Orleans, but I'm in and out all the time.
So why blues? When did you get started with music? Were you raised in a musical family?
No. My family had trouble paying the radio. I was in the high school band, and I had a very good high school teacher, and I was on the football team, and I was in the band, and I couldn't do both, so I had to pick one. So I picked the band, and for some reason music came easy to me. And I like all types of music. Blues is just the basic, the base of most other music. A lot of music is based on the blues, so it's just comes natural, I think.
So you said that at the Blues Festival, you know, people have different ways of doing the blues. What way do you have of doing the blues? How do you approach the genre?
Well, I grew up in Memphis listening to the blues and R&B, and there was rockabilly, and Memphis was a very good musical town to grow up in, and I that all that just kind of sinks in, and it all gets mixed up in there, and then it comes out in some way, and I try not to there's all these great people that I want to not necessarily sound like, but I want to give the same feeling that they get when I hear them. You know, I want to give that feeling, and but I don't want to just sound like them. You know, I just want to sound like me. And so it just kind of comes out. I don't plan on it too much. Just I try and keep it fairly simple.
Sure. Is there much planning that goes into your songwriting? You said you have some original pieces of work.
Yes. And again, I try and write about. It would be hard for me to write about being on a chain gang, you know. I can write about working on a roof or something. But I try and write about things I know about and have experienced or would like to experience.
Do you have experience as a roofer?
Oh, yeah, I do carpentry work.
Oh.
If anybody needs any work done.
That's your day job. Okay. Now, on June 15th, you're going to be at the auditorium in Eureka Springs for the Eureka Springs Blues Weekend.
Correct. I'm opening for, Leah and the Bojo Doctors, mm-hmm. and there's TJ Knight, and then there's the Chicago Blues Review, and it should be the festival lasts 3 or 4 days.
Right.
And this is like an afternoon show at the auditorium, and then all night long there's all the clubs, all the venues in Eureka Springs have music. And there are different, you can buy a pass and just go from one to the other. And there's a lot of really good music, a lot of really good people.
Who are you excited to see?
Well, a lot of, like the Chicago Blues Review, a lot of the old-time guys, you know, that kind of formed everything, originated everything, or channeled everything into what it is now. And then, again, that's the beauty of this thing, is you can be walking by a club going somewhere and hear something you like and stop and just never leave, you know. It's just, there's all the people that you've never heard before are playing, and some are really good.
Well, you've brought your guitar, so would you like to play something for me?
I would. All right, this is Let's Work Together. It's written by Wilbert Harrison. And it was originally recorded. It was recorded by Canned Heat. They had a fairly big hit by it. It was, and he had a original version. He wrote called Let's Stick Together. And I play in a band with my wife sings, and that's the version we do when she sings it, is Let's Stick Together. And then he wrote another version called Let's Work Together. That's this one. Stand divided, we fall. Come on now, people, let's get on the ball. Let's work together. Come on, let's work together. Now, people, you know, together we will stand, every boy, girl, woman, and man. Now, if things go wrong as they sometimes will, the road we travel must be all uphill. Let's work together. Come on, let's work together. Now, people, you know, together we will stand, every boy, girl, woman, and man. Two or three minutes, 2 or 3 hours, what does it matter in this lifetime of ours? Let's work together. Come on, let's work together.
my people. You know, together we will stand, every boy, girl, woman, and man. I'll pay a blue man. Make someone happy, make someone smile. Come on now, people, let's make life worthwhile. Let's work together. Come on, come on, let's work together. Now, people, you know together we will stand, every boy, girl, woman, and man.
That was good.
Yeah.
Why do you enjoy that song that you sing and perform
it? It's a very positive, upbeat, feel-good song. It just makes you feel good.
Who doesn't enjoy that? Do you have one more you want to play for me?
I do. I wrote this song. It's called Barbecue, and again, it's similar, like I was saying before, about the music in Memphis, where the food and music was the food in Memphis. Well, I was very lucky to have a barbecue place right around the corner, and I was very shocked to find out that every place didn't have a barbecue place around the corner. It was. Walking down Beale Street like he was in a limousine. You got WDIA on the radio and you're feeling mighty clean. You're gonna go downtown, down to the rendezvous. Gonna meet all your friends and get some barbecue down by the river late at night. There's this bad dude walking beside me, but he don't wanna fight. He's just singing a tune so sweet and true. Just want some spare change to get some barbecue. Now I take life kind of easy, I leave my troubles at the door. I don't sweat the small stuff, I don't worry anymore. 'Cause when I have a problem, I tell you what I do. I write a letter to my congressman and get some barbecue. Thank you. baby got married. And on our wedding day, sitting to the mosque in my special way, she didn't send no heirloom like some mothers do. She didn't send no gold. She didn't send no china. She didn't send no silver. She sent some barbecue. Some barbecue. Ah, barbecue. Ah, barbecue. I like the pulled pork, you know. I like it wet, I like it dry. Ah, yeah. Ah, barbecue.
That was Buddy Shute inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio yesterday. He will perform at the Eureka Springs Blues Weekend at 3 p.m. June 15th at the Auditorium. More information about the festival is available at eurekaspringsblues.com.
Democrat Jim Graves follows Republican Michelle Bachmann out of the Minnesota House race. Missouri's 8th District chooses a member of Congress to replace Joanne Emerson. We remember the late Senator Frank Lautenberg, and Attorney General Eric Holder keeps clashing with congressional Republicans. I'm Ari Shapiro. Neil Conan returns with political junkie Ken Rudin. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation coming up next here on your public radio station, KUAF 91.3 FM. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. KUAF is proud to broadcast Mozart in the Museum live from Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art, June 24th, beginning at 8 p.m. This live radio broadcast will feature the Artisphere Festival Orchestra with Corrado Roveras, music director. Artisphearfestival.org for more information. Support for this broadcast comes from Cox Communications and Downtown Bentonville Incorporated. KUAF is supported by Kumon Math and Reading Centers in Fayetteville, Lowell, and Bentonville. Kumon offers benefits that can last a lifetime. Develop skills, study habits, and the confidence to succeed in the classroom and in life. More information is available at kumon.com.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Bentonville, Fort Smith, and Keener.
Keener.
It is a little tiny town northeast of Harrison.
Okay. I may have been through it then.
Yeah, I don't know. It looks like it's just on a really small road.
So. Oh, well, then probably not.
So I've never been there.
I'm terrible about remembering all the little places I've been through. I try and pay attention when I go through and see a little sign alongside of the road, you know, those towns that you kind of blink and miss it.
Right.
On your way to wherever you're going. Mm-hmm. So, excellent. Keener. Okay. Well, I may have to stop by there sometime.
There you go.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Christina Thomas.
Thanks so much for listening. Tune in tomorrow at noon for an all-new edition of Ozarks at Large. I will be back along with Christina with a brand new show.
Yes. Until then, have a good Wednesday.